Okay, so we're in Joshua chapter number 3, and I'm not going to read right away very much because I'm kind of want to just, we're going to deal with pretty much the whole chapter, but I think we'll just take it verse by verse as we go through the message. But how about we read the first verse, and then that'll kind of get us started. We'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. So it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for the joy of just being able to come together, worship you with other believers and fellowship with one another. And I've enjoyed the song service, Father, and just being able to sing these hymns that we want to sing from our heart and praise and honor and worship of you. And I pray that our worship would be acceptable. We also desire that, Lord, you would speak to us and help our hearts and draw us near to you. And Lord, do a work in our life that we would be more what you want us to be, more in your will, that our hearts would be right with you when we leave here. And we would have your strength to do what you would want us to do. Father, if there is somebody today that needs to be saved, they need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm praying, Lord, that you would open their heart, their understanding, and show them their need, that they might understand that without Christ, we're lost. We're lost now, we'll be lost in eternity. And Lord, that they need to know you, they need to be saved. And then show them, Lord, also how you love them and how you provided for their salvation. And just, Lord, give them that understanding and draw them to faith in Christ. Bless this time and help us, Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I try to introduce the subject or the thought that we want to think about or look at here in this chapter, I have had the joy and privilege for lots of years, ever since I've been saved, which I never can remember how long that's been. I can tell you which year it was, and then you could figure it out. I was saved in 1985, so that was quite a while ago. And for all of these years, I've had the joy of meeting many, many joyful Christians whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, many of those I'm speaking of are sitting in this room this morning. But others that I've met through the years, people that clearly they have been saved. Their lives have been, you know, there's that difference in their life, that mark of the touch of God, the salvation that Jesus brings into a life and the change that he makes in our life. And I've known lots of Christians like that. And you know, they have a certain level of commitment to the Lord. And they have a consistent, I would say, a walk with God. But every once in a while, I've met some believers who, you know, and you've met them too. You understand what I'm saying when I say this. I've met some believers that they have a walk with God that seems to be, I don't know how to put it, but a cut above what many of us have. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some people I've met, and even recently I have been with some that they just have a closeness to God, and their Christian life is vibrant, and you know, it's alive, and you just see God at work in their life. As you know, recently I was with Brother Jacob Giesbrecht and his wife in the Philippines, and they are, both of them are people that I feel that way when I'm around them. I sense that they have a walk with God that is, you know, it's special. And as I spent some time with Brother Jacob, I can say that he has a prayer life like maybe some of us don't have. In other words, when Brother Jacob prays, he really believes God's going to answer. You know, sometimes we pray and we're just sort of praying, and there's nothing wrong with praying about things, and you know, we want to be people of prayer, but I don't know that we really are even thinking about expecting that, hey, when I pray, I expect God to do something. I expect God to answer. And I sensed that in his life, because we talked about prayer. We talked about just different things in conversation. He would mention praying and how God would work, and one of the things I kind of learned from my time there with him was that he believed God was going to answer his prayers, and so he would pray about something, and then he would just go in faith, believing that God was going to do whatever, you know. Sometimes we pray and then we wait to see before we go, you know what I mean? We want to make sure that this is going to happen before we start acting. But people who walk in faith and who believe in God and they trust God and they have a special relationship with the Lord, they know that when I pray and I poured out my heart to God and God's given me direction, I can begin to move even though I don't see all the doors open yet, but I just know that God's going to open them. And on the other side of that same coin, I also observe in his life, and I'm just pointing out one example. I've seen the same thing in Brother Bill Smith. I've seen the same thing in other people's lives, even here in this room. That they pray and they trust God and they move forward, even though all the things aren't in line yet, they just believe God's going to put it together. On the other side, I've seen them wait on the Lord in the sense that I'm not going to move just because it seems like a good idea, or just because other people are moving, or, you know, and sometimes we do that. We say, well, that you hear of an idea, you hear of something, you say, sounds good to me. I guess, you know, we'll just go down that road. But these people that I'm thinking about this morning who walk with the Lord, they don't begin to walk until they've prayed and got some direction from God, and then they walk, then they move. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I'm telling you that because I believe this is probably, I hope so, everybody here this morning that's saved, there's no reason why we can't have the same relationship with God. It's not reserved only for certain Christians. This is the relationship all Christians should have with God. Friday, we were in Creston, and I was doing the John and Romans, and somebody said to me, we need somebody who doesn't mind working in the cold, because out in the trailer, there's no heat, but out there is where they do the cutting of the John and Romans. When they put them together, then they trim them. And always, of course, Brother Phil Smith, who he's the owner of he works for the ministry that has the trailer and the cutter and all these things, and the reason why we can do the John and Romans. And I was in the trailer and I was talking with Brother Phil, and he didn't tell me these things on purpose. We were just talking while you work, you know. He would put the booklets in the cutter, and I hit the buttons and the thing would go boom, and then chop them, you know. And he was pretty trusting because I had those buttons and he kept sticking his hand in there. But I was, you know, I was sure not to take his hand off. But anyway, we were just talking as we worked, and he was telling me about their church in Leduc, Alberta, the church they come from, Vision Baptist Church. And Brother Price, I know that the Burdens have met them. And he was telling me just some things. And in the conversation, he was saying that, and again, he wasn't making a point of this. We were just talking, but he told me about a man that for, I think, the last 12, 14 years, who owns a trucking company. He's a trucker. He has trucked their John and Romans across the country for free. And that was just something God provided. You know, he said, this man came to us and he said, hey, he was a Christian and he heard what they were doing. He said, I drive truck back and forth. He said, I'll haul your John and Romans for free. And that saved them a lot of money. You know, shipping is a lot of money. And so that's just one thing he mentioned. Then as our conversation went on, he was telling me, we were talking about, I was mentioning that we want to do some renovations in here, and he was saying how they were putting in a new ceiling, and this guy who's not even a Christian came by, and they were talking to him at the church, and they described what they wanted to do with the ceiling, and he was a contractor of some kind, and he said, "I'll do that, and I'll do it for you for free." And so he did it for the church. And then he was telling me again another story as we were going throughout our day. And he said, our city wanted to all the buildings to kind of match, you know. They had this plan of their city to have their buildings look alike. And so the city came to the church and they said, "We'll pay half of the bill for you to do a facelift on the front of your church and, you know, make it look the way, and it really looked a lot better." And so he said, we were able to do all that, and the city paid for half of it. And as I was listening to all that, what went through my mind is I thought to myself, somebody in that church is walking with God, and God is blessing them, you know? And I'm sure Pastor Price and Brother Smith, and you know, I'm not just saying it was one person necessarily. But you just see how God is moving in their ministry and blessing them. There was other testimonies too. And so what I'm saying this morning, and I want you to think about this when we look at this scripture, is that if you want to draw closer to God, if you want to have a walk with God, that, you know, just it doesn't necessarily, you know, you meet these people, and for when you first meet them, you talk with them, they're just plain ordinary people. It's not like there's anything just, you know, so different about them, but as you get to know them, you see that God is really working in their life. I'm just saying that to say that that can be and should be, and maybe it is some of you, and if it's some of us who aren't there yet, I think there's some lessons in here that'll help us to get there. I've called the message Essentials for Spiritual Advancement. And I think we can learn this from Joshua. I'm going to give you four things. I'm going to give them to you quickly this morning, so please stay with me. Four essentials for spiritual advancement. We read in verse number one, Joshua rose early in the morning. We've already read the verse, but I just look at it again. He removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and he lodged there before they passed over. And so he's on the move. They're heading for Jordan. They had been camped a little ways away, maybe 7 kilometers or something away. And now he says it's time to march for the river, to head to Jordan, because we're crossing over. We're going over to where God has given us this land. And just review for a very short second here to kind of get you in the setting. You remember in chapter 1, Moses died, right? And God brought Joshua to the place of Moses to lead the children of Israel. And he said to Joshua in chapter 1, right at verse number 2, I think it is, if you just look back there, you'll find that he said to Joshua to go over the Jordan, to lead the children of Israel over the Jordan River. And he told him to be strong and of a good courage. Remember that? And he said, "As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Only be strong and of a good courage, and it's time, Joshua, you're to lead them into the promised land." God had led Moses and the children of Israel up to this promised land 40 years ago. They should have crossed in then. But because of the 10 spies who came back and said, "No, we can't go. We just never could overcome. They're too big. They're too much strength there. We're just a weak little people in the desert. We couldn't do it." And because of their evil report, the Bible calls it, because of their lack of faith, they've been 40 years now wandering around in the wilderness. And now it's time for them to cross over the Jordan. Sometimes people liken crossing the Jordan to death. You know, we cross over into the other side, we're into heaven. But really, when they crossed over the Jordan, it's really more of a picture in the Bible of going from the wilderness, you know, this wandering around aimlessly, into a more victorious Christian life, where they went in and conquered the land. And so it's time for them to move on, to take new ground, to go to spiritual heights that they had never gone to before. And so he says to Joshua, I want you to lead them. And Joshua begins to, I'm sure he prayed about it. He begins to prepare. And in chapter 2, he sends two spies. Now, it's interesting that he sent two spies. Moses had sent 12. Joshua was one of those 12. Two of them, Joshua and his friend Caleb, came back and said, yes, this land is wonderful. God wants to give it to us. We should go now. But 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. And so they listened to the 10 and didn't heed Joshua and Caleb. But now Joshua sends two spies. And I thought, that's interesting, he sent two, you know. And I think he probably vetted them in the sense that he probably looked for two guys who, you know, were guys who love God, who walk with the Lord, men of faith. He said, I don't need 12 opinions from doubters. You know, I just need somebody to go in, two guys who believe God and come back. And when they came back, they reported, and this is what I'm kind of reviewing still a little bit, but they reported that we were in the land and we learned that God was already working over there. Because we met Rahab, and Rahab said, you know, we've been for 40 years, we've been fearing you folks, you know, out there in the desert. We knew one day God was going to bring you. Excuse me, into this land. And, you know, we heard what he did in Egypt and how you crossed the Red Sea, and we've heard all of what God's done for you. And so Joshua was told to go. He really is getting ready. He's going. He's doing everything he knows to do. He sends some spies. They come back. They validate. They say, yes, God is in this. God is already moving. God is working. And so then we come to verse 1. It says, early in the morning. What morning? The next day. The next day when he hears the report from the spies, he says, okay, we got to get up early. It's time to get moving. And the first thing, here's the first point, the need for immediacy. There's a need for immediacy when it comes to doing what God wants us to do. And what you need to understand about it is Joshua's leading them toward the river Jordan, and he has a whole nation of people, they say around 2 million people. And so he's bringing 2 million people, all of their stuff, and we're marching toward a river. There's no bridge. And look down at verse 15. Just for a moment. You just let your eyes see it. Down there, verse 15 tells you that the river was overflowing all of its banks. This was flood season. Just like yesterday. We were in Colville on the way down. Good thing I didn't know this, but fortunately I had taken that Williams Lake Road, the cutoff. I got to the other side. Had I gone down to Kettle Falls, that road's closed. It's all flooded over with water. The end of Williams Lake Road was, we had to drive through water. Half of Colville's underwater. There's water everywhere down there. And this is kind of the situation it was at the Jordan River. The Jordan River is overflowing its banks. I don't know if it was March when they went, what month it was, but this was flood season. This is not the time that you want to have a river crossing with 2 million people when the river is overflowing its banks. But you see, Joshua knew that even though, humanly speaking, this was not the best time, if he'd have taken counsel, you know, like with those spies 40 years ago, if they'd have counseled, you know, kind of pulled, what do you think we should do? Everybody, you know, humanly speaking, they would have said, Joshua, you know, not now. This is the worst time ever. This is not the right time to go. We should wait till the, you know, water goes down. We should maybe wait till we could figure out, can we build a bridge? Can we make some rafts? Can we do this? But that's not what Joshua did. And that's why some of us never get to that spiritual next level, is because God says it's time to move, but we get paralyzed by analyzing everything out ahead of us and wondering, you know, well, how's it all going to come together? And when we do that, sometimes we never take the first step. We're waiting, you know, for all. And the fact is, you read throughout the Bible, God seldom ever, you know, shows you all the mile markers out ahead of you and what they'll look like when you get there. Really, what God does, as I see it in the scripture so often, is the Lord points you in a direction and says, start going. And when you walk in faith, then as you go, He'll show you the rest of the steps once you get there. But if you never take the steps, you never get to the place where you can see where the next steps are. Do you understand what I'm saying? As long as we sit still, waiting to, you know, figure out how it's going to work out or plan it, we never get down the road to where God wants to show us how to get there. And so, first of all, we learn the lesson that there's a need for immediacy to begin to move. It was time to move. Don't be paralyzed. Now listen to this statement. You might want to write it down. Don't be paralyzed by what you don't know, but have faith to walk in the steps that have already been revealed. Did you catch that? Don't be paralyzed by what you don't know, but walk by what you do know. Just start doing what you know God wants you to do. And if God's leading you to go in a certain direction, if God's showing you that, you know, that you need to begin to do this or you need to stop doing that, and yet you're trying to, you know, figure it out in your mind, well, if I do that, how's it going to plan out? You never get down the road far enough. You need to start moving, doing what God has directed you to do, and then God will show you the rest later on. The paralysis of analysis, you know, it happens so often. I was thinking about when Jesus sent out his 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He sent them out and he said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. And he goes on down and saying to them, whatsoever city you enter into, just inquire who's worthy and go into that house. And if they don't want you there, come out, shake off the dust, and go somewhere else. And if you read all that, what you start seeing is that they didn't have a very good itinerary planned out here, you know. Usually when we're going on a trip, we want to, you know, we have a place reserved. We know where we're going to eat. We know where, you know, we have supplies for when we're traveling. And Jesus said, no, don't take any of that. Don't take a bag. Don't pack anything. Don't make a reservation. Just go. And when you go, there'll be a place for you. I'll arrange it. I'll handle it. And I'll provide for you. He even said when they get mad and they haul you before the judge, don't plan ahead of time what you're going to say. I'll give you what to say. Isn't that what he said? And you see, Jesus is trying to help us to see that we don't have to see the end of the road. We don't have to see next week. We don't even have to see tomorrow. All we have to do is be able to see the step right here. Take that step and God will, he'll show you the next one. And the reason why a lot of us don't get there is because we don't take that step. So there's the first lesson. We need to see the need for immediacy. Why don't we go? Well, I put down three things quickly. Number one is the obvious one. It's because of fear. We're afraid. 40 years ago, they took counsel of their fears and they didn't go into the land. Joshua wasn't going to make that mistake. The second reason is because of sometimes we're just comfortable where we are. We know we're not on the other side. We know we're not in the promised land. But like, you know, those tribes that said to Moses, you know, this is pretty good land here. How about we just stay over here? You know, it's not that bad on this side. You know, it was like Lot. When the angels came, they said, Lot, you got to get out of Sodom. And Lot might have said, and I think his wife probably thought, I kind of like Sodom, you know. It's, we got a house here, things are okay. It's not, I know the neighbors, you know, it's kind of, but hey, why do we have to move, right? And sometimes we just get too comfortable where we are. We need to move when God wants us to move. And then other times, the third one is life just gets in the way. Just life, you know. Solomon, I think about Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Solomon analyzed life for the for the span of his life. He sat around analyzing, you know. He studied education, what that could do. He studied pleasure and money. And you remember what Solomon said and all that? He said, you know, I've tried this, I tried that. We did this, we did that. We had all this, we had all of that. And then he gets down to the end. After he analyzed life, what is there in life? What will bring happiness? What is life worth? And he gets down to the end, and this is basically what he says. He says, I'm now old. I've studied all this all of my life. My advice to you is don't do what I did. Don't worry about all that. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the duty of man. Rather than just, you know, sit around analyzing everything. So, the need for immediacy. Let's move to verse 2. We really are going to be done on time. Just trust me on it, okay? It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, meaning the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye may go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. So you get the picture? He says, before in the wilderness, you always followed the cloud. Remember the pillar of cloud? They followed it, the pillar of fire. He said, now when you see the Levites and the priests, they're going to be bearing the ark on their shoulders. They're going to be coming down, you know, here they come. There they go. There goes the ark. And you follow it. You just follow it. Why follow it? Because follow it, then you shall know the way you have to go. And he said there's supposed to be a space. What was it, 2,000 cubits? I looked up what that is because who knows what 2,000 cubits is. Somebody said that's almost a half a mile. It's like 3,000 feet or something. It's a decent distance. Why were they just supposed to follow so far off? I thought following afar off was not good. You know, Peter was following afar off and he got in trouble. Well, I think probably they wanted everybody, they don't want you to crowd around the ark. They want everybody to be able to see it. Because we're supposed to follow God, not follow the guy ahead of you. You know, they didn't want to just follow the person, you know, well, the crowd's moving this way. I guess this is where we're going. No, you're supposed to see where God is and follow Him, right? And so they were to follow the ark, and this was different. This was new. God saying, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to lead you in this specific way. You follow the ark, follow these priests, where they're going, and they'll show you the way. Now they're heading toward the river. So he says, verse number 5, notice again what he says here. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let me just give you a thought there. Here they are, they're heading toward this river. They're going to cross over. Joshua's already, you know, he's got it in his mind. God wants us to go. We need to immediately obey. We need to take off. Well, I don't know how we're getting across. I have no idea. But God's going to show us a way. And so we're going. And then he tells the people, here's what you need to do. You need to sanctify yourself. Now there's an important lesson there, because he didn't go to them and say, okay, now when we get over there, I mean, we're going to have an enemies, you know, so let's sharpen our swords. Let's start making some arrows. Let's, you know, maybe some of you guys are good at military strategy. You can figure out some things. Is there anybody here that knows engineering? Maybe we can figure out a bridge or something. No, he didn't do any of that. All he said was, we're going, and what you need to do is you need to sanctify yourself, because I can't do that for you. I can't sanctify you. And I'm trying to lead us following God, and what we need is we need a people who are holy, a people that are sanctified, it's people that are consecrated, separated to God. And if we're all as a congregation, if we're all right with God, God's going to provide everything. He's going to work it out. We just have to follow Him. And sometimes as a pastor, a pastor might say, hey, Easter's coming and we're going to have this campaign. We're going to do this. Or look, we're going to start a church in Cranbrook and we need to, you know, we need to do these things. And we'd make some plans. But really what we need more than anything, the plans and the structure and the methods and all of that and the material, the John and Romans, it's the Word of God and that's important. But all the other, you know, we could have programs, we could have all these things, but they really mean nothing if we're not sanctified to God. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what we have to do more than anything else. Is look, God wants us to go in this direction. God wants us to do this work for Him. How are we going to get it done? I don't know how it's going to happen, all of it. But we know that God wants to do this. What we have to do is we have to be right with God. If we need God's power, if we need God to work through us, if we need God to provide the way, then we just have to make sure our heart is right with the Lord. Because if we don't, all the planning, all the preparation, all the methods we have, because serving God is not a mechanical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Are you still with me? So, how do we get to that next level? How do we go, like Joshua said, we're going to a place you've never been before. How are we going to get there? We need to see the need for immediacy, step out and start moving. We need to see the need for intimacy with God. Get ourselves sanctified. That means consecrate yourself. Confess your sins. You know, maybe it needs some fasting, praying, getting right with God. Because we're going into a place we've never been before. And to get there, we need God to do something. And we have to make sure our hearts are right. All right. Verse number 6. Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, now here, the Lord speaks to Joshua. He said, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now it sounds to me like Joshua, as far as he knew, they were going to go into the Jordan, you know, like, you know, here they go, the soldier or the priest going, and they go blub, 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 air bubbles, you know. But they didn't know what all God was going to do. He just said, God said, let's go, let's go. So, we won't do that, Steve, in the tank anymore. But the thing is, God says, and this is interesting, God says, today I'm going to magnify you. What does that mean? Make big, right? Magnify is to enlarge. He said, I'm going to magnify you in the sight of the people of Israel like I did with Moses. And why would he do that? Basically, God has leaders like Joshua, and he said, I want to magnify you so that you can magnify me, basically. Think about it like this. God points at people who will point back at him. And God says, I'm going to magnify you in the sight of the people. Why? Because I'm going to tell you to do things that make no sense. I'm going to tell you to say things that they're going to have a hard time believing. And if they're going to believe you like they believed Moses, they need to know that I'm with you. They need to know that it's not just you. Joshua has some harebrained idea. They need to know that, no, this is God leading. And when Joshua, talked to them, and he said, look, we're going to march to the river. We're going to cross over. They could have no doubt. They said, how? How are we going to do that? Listen, God said to do it. God's going to make a way. Did God not part the Red Sea? You know, he brought Moses across. Did he not keep us alive and supply for us in the wilderness? And God's going to do it. So let's go. And God said, you go, you take the steps. I'm going to show that I'm with you just like I was with Moses, so they'll know that I'm still here. I was with Moses. Moses is dead, but I'm not. I'm still here, and I'm going to work through you. And so they needed to understand that. And then in verse 9, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Now Joshua didn't, you know, God said, I'm going to magnify you. Josh didn't come back and say, well, I talked with God and God said, I'm pretty big and, you know, and you need to listen to me. That's not what he said. He said, God's still working and he's going to help us and God's going to bless us. He's pointing back to God. And that's what a leader does. I'll give you this point and we'll move real fast to the next one and we'll be done. We need to know the need for immediacy. We need to know the need for intimacy with God. We also need to see the need for instructors. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about spiritual mentors, spiritual leaders, spiritual people that will help us. That should be your pastor, but not just your pastor. There's other people. There's other people that, you know, are spiritual mentors. And that's how God works. God works through people, right? Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but how shall they hear without a preacher? When Philip had to, you know, came to the guy in the Ethiopian in the chariot and he was reading the Bible, he said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And when Cornelius prayed and said, you know, I want to know God, and the angel came and said, you need to go send for Peter, Simon, and, you know, he'll come tell you. In other words, God uses people. And we just have to understand that if we're going to go to the next level spiritually, we have to begin to step out, walk, see what on what God showed us, let him take care of what's ahead. We need to sanctify ourselves, get right with God, and we need to pay attention to spiritual leaders that will guide, that will help us, that will lead us in the right way, that will show us more and more how to walk with God. All right, we have one more point. We'll be done. We're all the way down to verse 15 now. So Joshua talks to them there, and he tells them God's going to take care of it. He's still here. Moses is not, but God is. And as they bear the ark, verse 15, they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Can you picture that in your mind? For the Jordan's overflowing its banks, right? All his banks, all that time of the harvest. So here they are. They come up there, and they take that first step in the water. And they didn't know what was going to happen. They're just following the orders. They're going to march into the river. And they come marching by. They didn't have any scuba gear. They didn't have any life preservers. You know, they're just coming through. And they get there, and the Bible says, verse 16, that the waters which come down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jordan, or excuse me, against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm. You always stand firm when you're with God. On dry ground and in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. My last point, I'll just tell you what it is. It's we need to see the need for intrepid faith, a faith that just, you know, it will step out. They stepped out in the water. They just put their foot there, and the Bible says the water stood on the heap. So you can picture the river. Here comes the river flowing down, and all of a sudden this water is flowing down. Boom, it's just, by God, stopped and piling up. And then the water that was already here flows away, and this is dry. And this water is just cut off here, you know, it's stopped. That's what happened. And then, you know, here's the priest. They're like, whoa, all this goes on. And then, oh, okay, well, here we go, guys. God's doing this. And but they had to step out in faith. Can you imagine being that priest? Like, you know, should I take my shoes off? I mean, we're going to get wet. But no, they just went, and God did the rest. That's the way the Bible says it, right? I know it might not seem like a big deal, put your foot in the water, but taking that step, you know, when we say, but if we take that step, we're going to sink. What are we going to do? But we have to have a faith that trusts that when we take the step God wants us to take, God's going to take care of whatever it is that needs taken care of. That's the recipe. That's the essential elements of getting to that higher place. I talked about our friend, evangelist, Brother Giesbrecht. I talked about other people, people at the church in Leduc and so on. And these people that we meet, people in this room that live on a spiritual plane above many of us, what have they done? They just said, God said, go here. We don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going. And they said, we need to be right with God. We keep our hearts sanctified before the Lord. We listen, pay attention to spiritual mentors, and we have a faith that's going to do what God wants us to do. That's really all there is to it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But I know it's not as easy as it sounds. But when they did that, you see, God got the glory. They knew, again, it was magnified because they knew this was God. Nothing else could be explained. You know, not the priest didn't go, see that foot right there? That's a river parting foot. You know, that's, you know, I just put it in there, swish it around. And no, they didn't do that. When that happened, they said, hey, it wasn't the priest. They had nothing to do with it. God did that. And so I'm just saying, when we do that, God gets the glory. Do you want to go in a spiritual... I'm trying to figure out... I hear all the time, this is the phrase they say, the next level. We're going to the next level. So I've tried to figure out another way to say it, but I don't know another way. Do you want to go to the spiritual next level, higher ground? To live in a life where God is doing things and showing you things and he's taking you to heights, that places you've never gone before spiritually? Follow what Joshua did and see if God doesn't lead you to higher ground.